Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is, of course, All Saints' Day. This is a day that we pause and look back and remember. And I think this is important for us, especially because we live in an ever-increasingly fast-paced world, right? In our world today that seems like, in some ways, we live in kind of this throwaway, disposable, fast-food culture where everything is instant. Communication and meals and instant gratification. And I know this as well as anyone because I have three small children at home that remind me of this every day. When I was young, if you wanted something new or a new toy or something, you had to actually physically go to a store to get this thing and save up money. But now my kids are into video games, and it's all downloadable and instant. And they say, "Dad, Dad, there's a new skin out for Minecraft. Can we download it? Can we buy it? Can we buy it?" And I say, "How much is it?" "It's only $5. And I say, "No, son." And then the next moment, I turn around and another one says, but Dad, Dad, there's this new map for this other game. It's really cool. Everybody's getting it. Everybody's doing it. I have to have it. Please, Dad, it's only $2. "No, son." And I realize that $2 plus $1 plus $5 plus $5, it adds up over time, especially when one day you get to work and you get an email that says from Microsoft, "Thank you for your many purchases." And you realize, I haven't locked that down on my thing yet. They can buy things all they want in an instant. Seems like everything new is trending and valued, while things that are old or have been around for a while are too quickly dismissed. And what's right in front of us that's still wonderful can quickly be tossed aside. Plus, with the information age in which we find ourselves, we're continually bombarded and overstimulated by media, by billboards and ads, and 24-hour newsertainment and ads popping up on the computer when I'm simply trying to scroll through my instant social media feeds, and it's exhausting, right? It's unhealthy, I think, in many ways, but it's the air we breathe. It's the world today. Which is why I think one of the greatest gifts of the church for this time in which we find ourselves is helping us to pause, to stop and reflect and be still, to take time to remember and to be in gratitude. And it encourages us when we do this to dwell in our past, to dwell in our story, and to dive into that flowing stream of the ancient and eternal story of God. And when we do this, it's like a gasp of air filling our spiritual and emotional lungs when we didn't even realize that we had been drowning. And I think this is so critical because if we forget our past, if we forget our story, we endanger our future. So today, we do this. We step into this ancient practice to pause and take time to remember. And this practice of All Saints, it goes back a long, long way in the church, at least back to the 5th century. And in its origins, All Saints' Day was actually a day to remember those who had lost their lives for believing in Christ, the martyrs in the early church. And there's also All Souls' Day, which is a day that came later to try and remember those in our community, in our families, the loved ones that we have lost who have died and gone before us. And in Lutheran practice, these things kind of seem to have rolled together, which is okay, and I think in part because of Luther's theology that reminds us that we are all simultaneously sinners and saints. Luther says that if we have been baptized in Christ, we are imbued with his righteousness, effectively making us saints, even though we recognize that we will remain sinners as long as we walk in the flesh on this earth. So today we look back, and we remember those who we love that we have lost. So I invite you to take a deep breath, maybe even close your eyes for a moment to remember, to think of them. In doing this, we celebrate their life, their lives, their faithfulness, and all of the goodness that they brought into this world. And at the same time, we feel a sense of mourning and loss for that hole left in our lives. And maybe for some of us, we might even be wrestling with feelings of grief or even anger as we recall some broken relationships or sins or shortcomings. I know for me, every time I have lost someone close to me, this whole range of feelings smashes together in this confusing mess. But I find peace in remembering that we are all saints and we are all sinners. And so when we do this remembering, we're remembering them, but we're also remembering God's faithfulness. We're remembering God's redeeming love for them, for you, and for me that knew us before we were even born and promises to love us through eternity itself. And as we do this practice, we also look even further back into our history as Christians, remembering those who have lost their lives for what they believed, the martyrs that gave their very lives so that we could come to know this good news of Jesus Christ. We remember Stephen, the first martyr in the book of Acts. We remember those in the early church who were persecuted by the Roman Empire. We remember those in our own sort of unique history as around the Reformation. Leading up to the Reformation and Martin Luther, there were a number of would-be reformers who were killed as heretics because they were trying to do what Luther eventually was able to do, and that certainly would have been his fate as well if not for Frederick the Wise, who protected him and cared for him. So we think about the martyrs, we can think closer to our recent memory, to people like Oscar Romero in Central America or Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who lost his life, a Lutheran pastor standing up to the Nazi regime in World War II Germany. And today, we remember many people around the world who might be living in places void of religious freedom, who experience persecution and suffering for their faith in Christ. So we remember. And when we think of our own community here, our community here at Good Shepherd, we don't have martyrs who gave up their lives for their faith in Christ or who experienced that kind of persecution, but I think in our own unique history of Good Shepherd, we can think of those who have gone before us who have given sacrificially, deeply, profoundly of themselves to build this church, this ministry that we now know as Good Shepherd. I think about those who founded Mount Tabor and St. Luke's Lutheran churches all those years ago, those who gave deeply of their time and their hearts and their financial resources to make these churches possible, create this new mission here in Manchester, and they heard God calling them to do something incredible, and they stepped out on a leap of faith and did it. And then many years later, faithful disciples stepped up to God's call in a new way, bringing Mount Tabor and St. Luke's together into one new church, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church of the ELCA, this place that has been a spiritual haven, a refuge, a place of healing where people can come to take a deep breath in worship and in community. And this has served thousands of people over its many years of its life. We have to remember how many hungry children have been fed because of the work of the saints in this place, how many homeless people have been helped throughout the years, how many kids have received school supplies, or countless others have been helped through outreach ministries that have been rooted here. All because of those faithful saints who stepped out in obedience to God's call and created this church. As we think about that, how precious are these memories, these stories, the wisdom, the collective memory of this saintly history that we share. And if we're not intentional, we could miss it. All too often, I think, we don't value the past and those stories until they become lost, until it's too late and we find ourselves untethered, unanchored. If we forget our story, if we forget our past, we endanger our future. And as I was thinking about this week, I decided I wanted to share a very personal story about this with you from my own life. A number of you might remember last summer, I was gone for a week. My grandfather passed away suddenly up in Iowa. My grandmother on that side had passed away a few years ago. And it was kind of a lot of mixed feelings because we loved each other a lot. I loved my grandparents. They loved me. I know that. But we weren't close. We didn't seem to share anything in common. I was that weird grandchild who wanted to travel the world and play music and do ministry and all these things, and they were just simple, small-town farmer folks that loved to stay at home and keep to themselves. They were quiet. I was quiet. I didn't grow up hearing stories about their lives or their childhood or their hopes or struggles or dreams. In fact, we seemed to have very little in common. But it wasn't until recently when my mom was cleaning out their house and getting ready to sell it that she found this. And she sent me a text message with a picture of this and said, "This was your grandmother's. Do you want it?" And I was confused because I didn't realize my grandparents had a musical bone in their body. And she said, "Yeah, your grandma used to, when I was a little kid, she played guitar and sang. And she did that because she sang songs for the kids at church and taught kids at church songs and taught catechism classes." And I was like, "Wait, which grandmother? Whose?" There was a piece of my story, my history, I'd almost missed. It still works, by the way. And I realized that I had almost lost this connection. Apparently, my faith had been planted seeds years ago, and I didn't even realize that this was part of my story. So as I think about this, I'm realizing how I've talked with a number of our CGs over the years here. If you don't know what that means, at Good Shepherd, we don't have old people. We have chronologically gifted people, which is great. As I've heard these stories, I've heard things that just humbled me, stories of incredible living saints who are walking among us, holding the treasure of our story, of our history. And I say ours because even though I've been here for just 3 years, when we come to be a part of this community, God grafts us together into this family of faith. And now the Good Shepherd story is part of my story, our story together. And I tell you, there's nothing more beautiful than seeing my own small children, my boys, coming to church and seeing their spiritual grandparents, their spiritual great-grandparents, people they know who they are, know them by name, love them, and pass on that faith in Christ, where my boys want to tell them about their day. And it's our dream that we would do more of this kind of cross-generational ministry here at Good Shepherd so that the goodness and the wisdom of these amazing saints among us can be shared and passed on to the next generations and live on through them. Friends, the church, I don't know if you realize this, but the church is really the last bastion of cross-generational community in our culture today. This is the only place in society where regularly, weekly, people of multiple generations gather in the same room, in the same space to share their stories. So as we look back and we remember, this is so important, and the good news is it's really not that hard to do. We just have to be intentional and take the time. And because we look back, then we start to have the capacity to look forward into the future, because that's a harder task. That's a more daunting task because the future is unknown. The future can feel scary. The future can look dangerous or volatile, or sometimes feel like there's this insurmountable challenge in front of us that we have no capacity to overcome. But we look to Jesus in that moment. And because we know our story and the story of God's faithfulness throughout the generations and throughout our lives, we can look to Jesus and trust him today. When he says things like this, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Jesus names this reality, the hardship. He doesn't shy away from it, but he leans into it, and then he dares to promise a better future. And then he says, "Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled." The hunger, the struggle is real, it's present, it's powerful, yet Jesus dares to promise a better tomorrow. Jesus looks into the eyes of pain and struggle, and he says, "You will not win the day." In this text today in our gospel reading, he's telling the disciples that he knows that they will suffer. They will experience persecution or hardship, struggle and pain, and for them, possibly even torture and death for the sake of the gospel. But, he says, that is not the end of the story, because you are now part of my story, of God's story. And God's story stretches on forever, before time began, through time, and into eternity. And this story always ends with the promise of resurrection and new life. And Jesus even has the crazy audacity to tell them to not only tolerate enemies and persecution, but to turn around and love them. He says, if someone strikes you on the cheek, turn and offer the other. If someone takes your coat, ask them what else you can do for them. And we have to wonder, how can he dare to say such wild things? What kind of fools would dare to believe in this kind of ridiculous way of living? Well, we would, because we know our story. We know God's story. And it's precisely because Jesus suffered and died on the cross, yet rose again, that we can dare to trust in these promises that he gives today. It's because we know the stories of the martyrs who gave their lives for the sake of the gospel, yet did so with full confidence that they would join Jesus in paradise. Because we know our story, our history, we now have the ability to trust in the promises of God, that death is not the end, struggle is not the end. Life, abundant life in Christ, that is the end of the story. That is the end of your story, the end of my story. This is our story. Thanks be to God.